live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Phew, and breathe, everybody. So that was Halloween. Halloween is done. This episode sounds a bit different because I'm recording upstairs. Hear that noise? Sounds like a tiny, tiny Hoover. What that is, it's the laptop. And it turns out that the laptop is so old that it started to get an old-aged, I don't know, illness. So it's kind of like, every 5 minutes doing this weedy, weedy little breathy thing, which is horrible. It makes me very panicky. It doesn't really, because it's not a real person. It's a laptop. Get a grip, Kevin. So Halloween has been and gone. Ah. And everyone else who doesn't care about ghosts for the rest of the year has gone on their merry way to start thinking about bonfires and Christmas and things like that. Whereas we, us, the intrepid paranormal team that we are still here going, thank God all the visitors have gone. Phew, that was a nightmare, wasn't it? As you know, it was a very busy week for me and Becca. We done a website, we changed stuff on the Patreon, we done lots of things. We done like 4 episodes in 4 days, which was amazing, but it was also very, very hard. So next year's Halloween, we've already decided we're going to go back to the Bulkley Hotel in Anglesey. That's if they'll have us, of course. And we're going to stay in a haunted room, which we've stayed in previously, and I managed to record a load of spooky audio, which I then lost. Because, yeah, that was fun. And, of course, this week was, of course, the episode with Chris Jericho, Y2J, the pariah messiah, the leader of the inner circle over at AEW, or All Elite Wrestling. WWE, or WWF, as people probably know it best, their arch nemesis now, the next biggest rival that they've got. And Chris is the current heavyweight champion at AEW, and he was kind enough to have me on his show. He literally is one of the hugest, if not the hugest, wrestling star other than The Rock out there right now. He's massive. He's got like 3.5 million Twitter followers. And he tweeted out about this show, this little old independent show, which was very nice of him. We've done a show on the Paranormal Beatles. So if you go over and search Talk is Jericho, you can find that show. It was on last Wednesday. It was one of 2 Halloween specials. We've done it with Charlie Benante, who's the drummer from Anthrax. Bloody hell, honest to God. And the hysterical thing, they were trying to find out my schedules because they're like, you know, they're free and easy. Just da-da-da. Like Chris's band, Fozzy, were on tour with Nickelback at the time. And he's obviously working out his schedule so we can go and wrestle for this company as their world champion. And they're getting in touch with me and saying, are you free on the Friday? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I might have to work late in my job. But they managed to work the schedules around me, which is just bloody amazing. It worked out pretty well, you know. I think it was the second suggestion we could all do. But yeah, it was a fantastic chat. He's such a nice gentleman. Do go and check it out. And he wants me back on at some point in the future to discuss other paranormal stuff, which is just mind-blowing. I've said to Becca, I'm convinced I'm in a coma because, you know, I have like very few things I'm passionate about. Music, wrestling, and the paranormal. And there's me talking to one of my favourite wrestlers of all time, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, about the Beatles, ghosts. It's a bit weird. I'm convinced I'm going to wake up sometime soon and I'll be like, and then I was talking to Chris Jericho for an hour about ghosts and Becca will be like, no, you've been in a coma for like 5 years. And I'm like, I've got a podcast, a quite successful podcast. She'll be like, no, you don't. Of course you don't. No, have your cornflakes and go and have a poo. Because you've been in a coma for so long. Anyway, going off track there massively. But yeah, thank you for all of your correspondence that you've got in touch with. All of the lovely things you've told me you've been doing for Halloween. What a lovely season it looks like the fans of this show and I had. It's been brilliant. Becca won't be joining us on this show because we went to a bonfire. Because we're English, of course. So around the 5th of November, obviously it's not yet the 5th, but we done it because it was the weekend. We like to celebrate the fact that hundreds of years ago, a terrorist failed to blow up Parliament. And we like to celebrate that fact by setting bonfires off on the 5th of November or thereabouts. So we went to Becca's mother's, and she'd done this massive bonfire with Becca's stepdad, and it was amazing, and it was really good. They put loads of effort into it. There's about 30, 40 people there. They had loads of food, fireworks, bonfires. It was brilliant. We had a ball. I haven't been drinking for a while, so I had about 5 or 6 bottles and took the knock, fell asleep. So I was in bed for about 10:30. Becca, on the other hand, little party animal, stayed up drinking till about six. So she's in no fit state to be, let alone coming on a podcast. I don't think she's in any fit state to do anything right now. And fair enough, she can do that. Yeah, so don't forget, we've got the website. Go over to Talk About Ghosts at, at hotmail.com. That's dead, Kevin. Well, it's still alive if you want to use it. Go over to talkaboutghosts.com and there you will see all of the things that you can do. You can get in touch with the show. You can support the show. There are links to Patreon and donate buttons and stuff. There's stuff we've been up to recently. I think there's some posts from a brilliant dog Halloween event that we went to called Howloween. Yeah, see what they've done there? I think you do. And of course, you can get in touch with your stories, which many people have done. So we're going to crack on with some very, very spooky stories. Oh, we have an interesting and exciting Patreon announcement about where that show's going as well. And other things coming up. So yeah, stick around. It's going to be spooky. So without further ado, the first story comes in from Nathalie. Remember Nathalie sent a story in last week? Well, she sent another. And we like repeat. I'll do a Jim Harold impression. We sure like our repeat callers. That was terrible. Anyway, she sent in another email and it goes thusly. Hi, Kev. I've just finished listening to you tell my first story. Thanks so much. You did a great job. Thank you. Especially as it was such a personal experience. Just so you know, my name is pronounced the good old-fashioned way. Nathalie. Ah, bloody hell. Now I find out. My name has a H in it because it's French. I am, however, not French. My mum once told me she chose that spelling because it's more exotic. Very good. I think coming from Birmingham, you got to do something to add a bit of flair. Fair enough. The Halloween specials haven't come out yet as I write this, but as you will read this afterwards, I know they'll be awesome. I'll say, thanks for a brilliant Halloween week. All the episodes were spooky AF, in brackets as F-O-O-K, which is how we say the F word if we don't want to swear. Congrats, that's me saying that. Congrats also on the website and new email. Thank you. I shall email this to your new address tonight. And she did, and that's why I'm reading it. Okay, here's my second story, as promised. Here goes. About 3 years ago, my husband and I were celebrating 10 years of being together. We, in brackets I, always like to celebrate this anniversary as we were together 7 years before we got married. So those extra 7 years deserve some recognition. Brilliant. Plus, it's at Christmas time, so it's a nice excuse to escape the kids and have some fun once a year. As this was a significant milestone, I asked my auntie, in brackets, let's call her Jay. Okay, then we shall. Jay. If she would have my daughter so we could go away for a whole night, in block capitals. It was the first time we'd had the opportunity to go away since becoming parents, so we were rather excited. You may remember from my first email that I mentioned I'm originally from Birmingham but now live near Brighton. However, nearly all my remaining family still live in the Midlands. Also, my parents have both passed away and my Auntie Jay is my mum's sister. So the plan was to do a festive family visit up to Brum, drop my daughter off at Auntie Jay's, then me and my husband fly up to Edinburgh. I don't know why I'm sharing all this information. I told you I waffle. Fair enough. I do the same. Don't worry about it. It's completely fine. Anyway, Auntie Jay's house has a lot of activity in it. Appliances turn on and off. Footsteps are heard a lot upstairs and a woman in bright white light was once seen by one of my cousins. That's freaky. The activity seems to begin as winter arrives, increases over Christmas and stops again in the new year. That's interesting. I've been there before and heard someone walking around upstairs, but only myself and my cousin were in at the time. Bah, bah, bah. Anyway, during my Midlands trip, I also visited my nan, in brackets, my mum's mum. She told me that the night before I went to see her, she'd been lying in bed and my mum had stood next to her in a bright white light. I have to admit that I responded with a cynically patronising, that's nice, nanny. Shit, that sounded more threatening when I done it, didn't I? I'll try and be patronising, that's nice, nanny. Even that sounds horrible. Anyway, sorry. She's in her late 80s, and despite the fact that I'm all singing, all dancing believer, I didn't think much of this story. Deep down, I think I was so dismissive because I was jealous. We'll come back to that shortly. Good. Fast forward to our return from Edinburgh. As soon as we got back to collect my daughter, we were met with a very shaken Auntie Jay, who was all set to put a house on the market. She recounted an event that had taken place that afternoon before. Upon entering her kitchen, my three-year-old by her side, the room suddenly filled with the orchestral music and the sound of an angelic choir. That's weird, isn't it? Auntie Jay said that it was so beautiful and all-consuming, but she had no idea where it was coming from. She went to turn off the radio, but it wasn't plugged in at the wall and there weren't any other devices that could have been playing it. For a moment, she thought she was losing it and assumed it was in her head, until my daughter asked, "Is that the Frozen music, as in the Disney film?" "Yes, Lily," Jay replied, not wanting to frighten her. Suddenly, the music that had once filled the room began to dart around it, first playing in one corner, then moved swiftly to the window. Then just like that, it stopped. Suffice to say, my aunt was freaked out. I'm getting freaked out now. She had experienced the most paranormal activity in her home out of everyone, but she couldn't handle this. In brackets, they are still in the house, though, in case you wondered if they followed through with the moving. Okay, fast forward to January a month later. This is a particularly tough month for me, as I'm sure it is for many of your Northern Hemisphere listeners. The festive season is over, it's cold, dark, and for me, added to that, I was in a particularly low patch. I miss my parents enormously, and I was thinking a lot about all the paranormal experiences my mum's family seemed to have. As mentioned before, I was jealous my nan had possibly received a visit from my mum and I hadn't. I didn't like to feel jealous of anyone, and don't throw that term about lightly. I was also feeling happy because my nan had contact with her beloved daughter. I was just really starting to question why I hadn't experienced anything since my parents had died, and it was at this point that I decided to have Reiki for the first time. You'll remember from my last story that this is when I met Kay, the Reiki master. Well, what I didn't go into in that story was that because she had made contact with my mum, it gave me the courage to see a medium straight after my first session with Kay. The day I made that decision, I began searching for someone, but I couldn't find anyone that I liked the look of, in brackets, maybe I'm a psychic's website snob, fair enough. Deep down, for self-preservation, I was worried that I'd pin a lot on this encounter, and if nothing happened, then I'd be devastated. I completely understand that feeling. This is Kev speaking now. I kind of have that with people I've lost in the past. Whenever I've seen a medium, I've thought, you know what, if they say they're not there, or they say some balls, and you know what, I've been to a lot of spiritualists, and a lot of them do talk a lot of waffle, and you can't pull them on it, because then when they say like, "Oh, who's Steve, who was in the Navy?" I'm like, no idea. "Oh, well, you know, I can only say what they're telling me. Why don't you check when you get home?" Like, about 14 of 15 facts was check when you get home. And one of them was like, "Oh, I've got somebody who says that they once breathed in and out." And I'll be like, "Yeah, that'll be a human, that." Anyway, I digress. It's a vulnerable thing sitting with a complete stranger who may make contact with the people you love and miss the most. It was not a risk I was willing to take, so I stopped searching and got back to my work. I run my own business managing social media for organisations, so I was working on Facebook. Suddenly, I happened to stumble upon someone's question on a client's page. The person asked if my client knew of a medium in the Brighton area. The client isn't anything to do with this field, but as a long-time resident of the area, it's the kind of thing I guess she may have known. Lo and behold, I like that, lo and behold, someone else had responded recommending a lady. I googled her immediately. There was lots of information about her, including videos and newspaper articles. She was the one, I knew it. I felt like something, or someone, in brackets, had guided me to her. What are the chances that I'd given up my search, then minutes later I'd seen a recommendation for a medium, by a human, not a search-related pop-up? And that's an excellent point, that, Natalie, because I was about to say, oh, well, you know, they're listening on your phones, they're listening to what you type, that's why you get these adverts, but as you say, it's a human, not a pop-up. I took a deep breath, found her contact details and sent her a message. Just like that, I was booked in for Saturday. Now, I could write you an entire story about my visit with this lady. Let's call her L. Got so many initials going on here, but we'd be here all day. Suffice to say, it was incredible. She told me so many things there's no way she'd have known. And I walked away that day feeling so uplifted and knew for sure my parents were by my side. Kevin here, I'll just have a quick interjection to say, that sort of feeling that you got there, that's why I'm not completely against mediums. And you know what? To a point, even if they are charlatans, even if they're able to just get people's information from reading your face or whatever Derren Brown does or some mystic or a pretend guy, you know, if you're in the need to hear nice positive things about people who've passed on and this person can do it, so what? Do you know what I mean? People go and have massages to feel better. It's just a massage of the soul, isn't it? It doesn't really matter. So when someone says, "Oh, you don't believe in all that, do ya?" Go, what? Trying to get a positive message to feel better? Yeah, I do, actually. Anyway, I digress yet again. Very quickly, though, two things she told me blew my mind. I had carried so much pain surrounding the fact that my mum had died with thrush in her mouth, caused by her immune system shutting down in those hours before she died. It caused her so much pain and irritation and was agonising to watch. God bless her. Also, days after she passed, I had been to visit her at the Chapel of Rest and had regretted doing so ever since. When I visited my dad, he looked just the same and finally at peace, in brackets, after a long battle with mental health and addiction. But my mum's face had changed, and I hated that that was the last time I'd seen her. I used to get so upset about both of these memories quite a lot. Elle said to me that she had a strange sensation in her mouth. This is the psychic lady, remember. Her tongue felt sore and irritable. My mum then told her to tell me that it was okay. Her mouth was now fine and not to feel upset. She also passed on a second message that she no longer looked how she did in the Chapel of Rest. I hadn't mentioned either of these memories to Elle. My mum just knew the two and they were the two messages I needed to receive. Okay, back to the main event. There's still stuff to... Honest to God, what a story. First of all, Elle, the psychic lady, asked me if any activity took place in my home, appliances turning on and off, etc. This was my bone of contention, and I replied a reluctant no, as I'd spent the previous few years willing my parents to make their presence known. We discussed this, and she told me to listen to my dreams. This is how my parents would communicate with me. Indeed they have, which I'll write about another time. Please do. You know the email address. talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. It's not. talkaboutghosts.com. In fact, contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Anyway, a third digression. I do apologise. Write about another time. She also said that my mum knew not to do anything in my home because I'm a big fat hoose. I'm a big fat... Oh, wuss. Okay, so you spelled that weirdly. A big fat wuss and would freak out if anything did. It's true. Even when I used to come home from uni and watch episodes of Most Haunted, I'd have to sleep in my mum's room, age 20. Fair play. To this day, sometimes when I'm sat at home alone, I'll pluck up the courage to call out and say, "It's okay, show me a sign." Then swiftly retract my statement with a vehement, "Actually, no, don't. I'm now 36. I'm 40, and I still do that. Elle then asked me why she kept on hearing Birmingham. I told her that's where I was born. Elle then said there was an Auntie J living there, followed quickly by, "That's where all the activity takes place. Things turn off and on there." "Yes," I exclaimed. She went on to say that during the Christmas period just gone, something had happened in my auntie's home. Music began to play from nowhere. Elle described it as beautiful orchestral music with a choir singing. Then she uttered the words, "I will never forget." I have chills thinking about it and my eyes are welling up as I type this. She said, "That was your mum." "Mind blown," she says. I agree. Now, this was before my birth experience with my son, which was Natalie's stories last week. And just days before my first Reiki treatment, where Kay had told me my mum was with me. So up until this point, there hadn't been any paranormal experiences with my mum since she had died. In brackets, I had ashamedly dismissed my nan's experience. So hearing this was incredible. She loved classical music and Christmas. Everything about the festive season reminds me of her. Not only did it feel wonderful that she had been around and sent us a sign, but my daughter had been there. She heard my mum's music. They never got to meet, so knowing their direct communication was so special. Elle also told me that my mum tucks my daughter up at night, describing exactly what my daughter used to wear each night to bed at that time. A fluffy white robe with bare ears on the hood. She wouldn't take it off at night all that winter, no matter how hot she got. Elle also told me that my mum had visited my nan that Christmas, in brackets, "Oh, the shame." Oh, the shame, because you, what's the word? You didn't believe it, did you? Like when the cock crowed twice, you will have to die to me, etc. But not as biblical. Anyway. She came to her one night in a bright white light, in brackets, "Sorry, nanny, for dismissing you in such a patronising fashion. Lesson learned." Another thing Elle said was that my family are clairvoyant, and so am I. This explains a lot. Given all my mum's paranormal experiences in life and everything else I've just mentioned, I had a feeling this might be the case. I was also beginning to wonder about my own gifts, as things that have happened to me that I can't explain. I can't do anything important, like predict world disasters or winning lottery numbers, but random things do happen, like I would dream about people I hadn't seen in years, then bump into them in the middle of a busy London street a few days later. Or I think the exact words just before someone says them out loud. One thing that I've begun to realise recently, after various experiences, is that I may not experience objects flying about my house or see my parents at the end of my bed, but every time I've provided my mum with the opportunity to connect with me, in brackets, through a vessel, she has. I believe she told Kay to get in touch when I was pregnant, and I also believe she guided me to Elle, in brackets, yes, via Facebook, but hey, the dead work in mysterious ways. Yes, they do indeed. I have now completed my level 1 Reiki, which means I can perform it on myself. Next January, I'm going to complete level 2, which will enable me to perform it on others. I've definitely begun to experience more things myself, and I'm so looking forward to what opening up my third eye further will result in. Who knows, maybe my mum will finally be able to connect with me directly one day too. So that concludes my story. I'll send you the short but sweet bundles of stories when I get some time. Please do, Natalie. Thanks, as always, for a brilliant podcast. I can't wait to watch, in brackets, listen to it grow, especially now Becca's at the business end. Take care, Nat. Well, thank you, Natalie, formerly Nathalie with a H. What an amazing story. There's so much to pick apart in that. Like, for example, you being psychic, for one. Hello, where did that come from? That's a good one. And it would be interesting if you could let us know, you know, how this Reiki journey goes on. I'll be honest, I'm not suspicious of Reiki. I've never had it done, so I can't comment. I am a massive believer in the power of the mind to basically do anything. And I mean, like, anything at all. So I do think that if you think you're going into this Reiki thing that's going to help you be healed, it's going to make you feel better. I do think if you completely believe in that, your brain may release these endorphins around your body that make you feel better. I'm not completely against the fact that it might be things coming out of your hands and psychic powers and all that at all. But I think either way, it kind of doesn't matter, if you know what I mean. If you go in believing that this Reiki treatment is going to make you feel better, your brain tells you it's working and therefore it heals you, then it works. You know, it doesn't matter how it's worked. So, yeah, but at the same time, do let us know if you do experience anything spooky to do with all the Reiki stuff, because that would be amazing. And I can stop talking like this. Okay, so if you've got a story like that, do send it over to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Next week, I don't know, I'm debating one of the stories as a test to put music behind it. And I know I said I never would, but I don't know, I'm in two minds. I listened to some of the Halloween stuff that we recorded and was like, you know, if that just had like running behind it, I'd be much more freaked out and like, oh my God, what happens next? But I've always said I never would, because it's not what the show's about. It's just about me waffling and telling your ghost stories, which is kind of how it works. So if I don't know, let me know. If you don't want me to, then I won't. I've not got any issues one way or the other with it. But anyway, shall we have a midpoint? Yes, I think we should. A midpoint, hurrah! 20 new listeners, you're wondering what the heck's he banging on about? In the midpoint, I'll tell you. We basically say thank you to our Patreons and we have a little chat about the week and forthcoming events. That's what we do. Okay, new guy, are you with it? Just realised, anyone tuning in after the Jericho show are probably thinking, why isn't this deadly serious? It's like, because it's not. You know, it's a little bit waffly. I do apologise. We still get the ghost stories in, but we have a bit of a laugh along the way. So I understand if you've left. But if you're still here, welcome to the club. Hello. A couple of Patreon announcements, actually. Good news. The monthly mini-sodes that we've been doing are going to become weekly from today. Yes. Shorter episodes, maybe about, say, 15, 20 minutes long. But they're going to be weekly from today. If you want to be a Patreon, like the wonderful guys I'm about to sing to, it keeps the show alive. And I'm being genuinely serious. Like all the Halloween specials we've just done that we were able to do off-site, we got the equipment for that through Patreon. You know, everything that we do, basically, the website, all the new stuff, it's all coming via Patreon. So it does keep the show afloat. If you want to keep the show afloat, you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts or go to our website, talkaboutghosts.com, and click on support the show. Genuinely, sincerely is keeping the show alive. And, you know, for $5 a month, you'll get all the extra content that there is. Just $5 a month, you'll get new episodes every week. You'll get scrollings that me and Becca do, pictures, videos, all that carry on. So yeah, that's out of the way. I do also want to make another announcement. Today is the first time I had an email basically of somebody saying, Kev, you know the Patreon songs? They're eating up a lot of time. And I was like, they are, fair enough. But I don't want to do them. I don't want to stop doing them. Freudian slip there. So what I'm going to do, today's the first time, I'm going to amalgamate everybody's name into one wonderful thank you song. That way, I get to still sing everybody's names, but it's not as long as like six individual songs, which we've got like six people to thank today. It would be a 30-minute show just of songs. So we're going to do one magical thank you song to you all. Okay, here it goes. Guitar's out. Here we come. Deborah Beretta makes me feel better by giving into Patreon. Kerry Gleason's done the same thing too. And Sarah Moran has gave what she can to support the show. Michelle L. Randall stopping all the scandal by giving into Patreon. Catherine Smith has donated with a click upon the website.
A foxhound floral has done the same thing too. Though I'm sure that's not your real name, but if you'd like to do the same, see that rhymes that? Click on the website and click support the show. Oh, 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 oh. Seventh chord. Oh. So thank you to all our wonderful Patreons and donators to the show. As I say, it keeps the show going. Go to talkaboutghosts.com, click support the show. $5 a month will get you all the extra content on Patreon, or you can just donate. It's entirely up to you. It's up to shoes, baby. It's up to shoes. Said the feet to each other. Anyway, let's get back to more spooky story. Oh, before I go, actually, me and Becca are going on the Mersey Ferry. The Mersey Ferry. Ferry across the Mersey tonight because there's a fireworks spectacular called the River of Lights taking place in the River Mersey. And you can either go along the riverfront and watch it, either the Liverpool side or the Birkenhead side. Or if you're lucky, like we are, you manage to secure tickets to the ferry itself and you get to watch them all in their glory. Now, this all is dependent on Becca getting through this hangover today. She's currently in bed, so let's hope in the next 4 hours she can come back to life. That's what I'm hoping. Anyway, back to more ghosts. Yes. And we're back with more of the spook, yeah, baby. So, right into it. This story's came in from Anne Ford. Yes, Anne Ford. Lovely name. Hi, Kevin. I enjoy your podcast so much. Thank you. It's spooky and hilarious. Ooh, you can get medicine for that, you know. It's not that funny. I'm sending you the first of three stories, this being the longest. I just listened to your listener story about the basement orb, and it reminded me of my own basement experience. I've had a few experiences that have given me a vague belief in the possibility of ghosts slash the paranormal, enough that I can't just discount the possibility completely. I'm originally from a small town in northern Georgia. My grandparents had a pool built in their backyard to encourage all of the grandkids to spend our summers at their house. My three, that's how very manipulative of them. I like that though. Well done then. My siblings and I would spend most days of the summer there. My grandparents' house was a one-story ranch with a large one-room basement the size of the house. It had a door leading to the outside under their back porch. They kept a large freezer chest and a second refrigerator down there, which they stocked with soda and popsicles. Oh, popsicles, of course. Popsicles. I don't know, Kevin. Get your American right, will you? This was a real treat for my siblings and me because our mother didn't allow us to have sugar normally, but we could help ourselves when we were over there. I love your grandparents. They're like, what we'll do? Right, we'll build a circus and get loads of sweets. That'll keep the kids busy. Ha ha ha. Good people. Well done. That's what grandparents should do, isn't it, really? Spoil the kids. Well done, then. Where are we? Needless to say, we would often go in to grab treats. Their basement was the spookiest place I had ever been, not because it looked particularly creepy or anything. In brackets, they kept it clean and the things they stored down there were normal everyday things, like sporting equipment, furniture and the like. But because I always felt like I wasn't alone down there, like I was being watched. I was not an easily spooked kid. Didn't feel this way anywhere else as a child as I recall, but I would brace myself for the oppressive feeling when going in and always felt it. When I was around 10, my grandparents converted three quarters of the basement into a living area consisting of three small bedrooms, a bathroom, and a hall that connected the bedrooms to the staircase and the door outside. The storage area now was much smaller and on the other corner of the basement under the stairs with the door connected to the hall as well. A few months after it was completed, my younger brother, in brackets, he was 7, and I were spending the night and stayed in the newly converted rooms. I still felt creeped out by the basement, but everything looked new and normal, making me feel more at ease. I didn't shake the disturbing feeling, but I was able to reason it away enough to sleep. The next day, my brother and I played and had fun, and it was getting dark that we began watching TV downstairs in the bedroom that I slept in, brackets, the one next to the storage room and the stairs. We sat on twin beds facing the TV. The TV was right next door to the hallway, so we could see the hall and the stairs. We were waiting for our parents to pick us up and continuing to watch the TV when something very bright white and very solid zoomed from one side of the hall doorway to the other. It wasn't touching the floor, it was a few inches above it, and was only about 2 feet tall. It was so bright and so fast that I couldn't comprehend what it could be. The other side of the doorway was the hallway wall, so if there had been a living thing going past, as fast as it was, it would have bounced off the wall with an incredible force. But that didn't happen. This bright white thing passed by in an instant, and I looked at my brother and he looked at me, and I quickly asked him what he saw, and he started screaming. So naturally, I started screaming. We went screaming up the stairs to find our grandfather. He was very annoyed at us, but when he came downstairs and looked everywhere, we found nothing.
My brother and I discussed what we had seen, and we had the same experience but had no natural explanation for it. There were no windows in that section of the basement. I had always assumed it was something sinister because of the terrible creeps I'd get down there. But in hindsight, I wonder if it was actually something protecting us from what caused the creepy feeling. Interesting point. Interesting note, my friend's family bought the house three doors down from then, about 5 years later. It had exactly the same layout and the exact same creepy feeling in the basement. Her sister's bedroom was in the basement, and she often said she felt a spirit was down there and would have strange dreams. In brackets, she's one of those weirdos who have no fear of the paranormal. With a winky face. I know these people. I'm going out with one of them. She also said she researched the area and a man had killed himself in the creek that was running behind their houses decades before. Interesting. I'll send you my other two stories soon when I get the time to write them out. Keep up the awesome work. I will. Thank you. Thank you, Anne. What a story. And please do send them other two in. However many others you've got, send them all in. We'll keep them all. Arr. Why am I a pirate today? I have no idea. Arr. Anyway, what a story. I do like that. Could it be that, I don't know, like you're saying, like someone killed themselves in the creek behind the house. But if it's in the other person's basement too, maybe it's the ground. Without being too cliche, maybe it's an old burial ground. You never know, do you? Thank you for that story though, and what a tale. Next, we have a story. It'll be our final story for today. But we do have a story from Yanira Kaleas. You recall Yanira? What a beautiful name. And she sent in the following story. Hey, Kevin, I hope you're doing well. I am. Thank you, Yanira. And I hope you're doing well also. The podcast never disappoints. Give it time, Yanira. Give it time. Keep it up. My name is Yanira Kaleas. I am a female and I live in Hampton, Virginia in the US. I sent you an email before and decided to keep sharing some stories. Please do, and please keep them coming through. My family is Salvadorian. We just seem to be attracted to the paranormal, both on my mother's and my father's side of the family. I will share a couple of stories, one that happened to my family members and another that happened to me. Here we go. Many of my aunts, especially my grandma, she's not one of your aunts. Oh no, I've read that wrong. Many of my aunts and especially my grandma tell this story about my grandma and grandpa. This occurred in El Salvador around the 1970s. During those times, my grandma and grandpa lived on the land they also farmed. And in these times, there was no electricity. They had neighbours, but no one really close, and everyone kept themselves to themselves, especially at night. My grandpa would go out and tend his land or travel to do jobs. My grandma would stay home and tend to the kids. She tells me that my grandpa came back from a job, and he came back with a book. She did not know what it was, nor did she ask, but she knew it wasn't like him to buy books. She paid no mind, however, in brackets, these were the times where the wife did not question the husband. Or else. Jeepers, that took a turn. My grandpa did not leave this book unattended and he carried it with him everywhere. It was not long after he came home with the book that someone came looking for him in the middle of the night, but my grandpa was not home. What is this book, I say? That's Kevin asking. My grandma was home alone with the kids. My grandpa was not at work since he had just gotten back, but he was most likely either out or drinking or out socialising. Let me remind you that they live on rural land and there is zero electricity. The night is engulfing in its darkness. That's good. I'm getting into this now. Let's all get into this together, people. Yes. The only small amount of light shed in the dark is from the moon and the endless amount of stars. My grandma said that she woke up to hard knocking on the door. She woke up in pure darkness in their home. They had a huge corridor at the front of the house and she said it sounded as if a horse was breathing and stepping in the corridor. Oh, my shivering spine. She opened the window slightly and told one of her daughters to light a candle they had. The window was literally a hole in the wall, meaning the only protection from the outside was steel bars, almost like a prison. She opened the window slightly and said she saw what seemed to be a man and a horse. But what bothered her was that it seemed that it was the man who was half a horse. She felt great unease and a sense of danger. The only light was from the moon and stars. It was a very dark figure, and from what she could tell, they were not two separate entities. She felt so sure they were attached. She felt deathly afraid. For herself, and especially for the kids, the figure spoke in a deep voice and asked for Grandpa. My grandma told it that he was not there and she did not know where he was. She was telling the truth. The figure told her that it would be back and said goodbye. My grandma was freaking out on the inside. but the other kids were awake and were also afraid. Oh no, the older kids were awake and were also afraid. They heard everything, but she would not let them see what she saw. She put everyone back to bed and tried her best to fall back asleep as she wondered who, or more like what, that was. She felt immense fear and felt an immense feeling to get out of that situation as quickly as possible. She knew something was not right. It was super strange for someone to go out looking for someone else in the middle of the night in those times due to the lack of electricity, transportation and roads. When my grandpa finally returned home, she confronted him. She told him what had happened and asked him what was going on. He said he did not know who came looking for him. He wasn't supposed to see anyone or even receive anyone at home, and especially not at that time. She told him what she thought it was she saw and how she had felt in the moment, and he got pale. He looked scared. She asked him to tell her what it was. He said that what she might have seen was maybe the devil himself, if not a demon. It was believed that a half-man, half-horse figure would appear, and it was said to be the devil. My grandpa felt sure that it was. My grandma couldn't believe it and asked him why. If it was true, why would he come looking for him? My grandpa had found that book he came home with, and it was not an ordinary book at all. It was a book that contained witchcraft and black magic. My grandpa had found it and had been trying to read it. This story is bloody amazing. After what he had heard from my grandma, he did not take any chances. He burned the book. He was scared. He hadn't even actually seen and been there, and he was scared. The figure never came back, but he said he would. Maybe Bjerninger had done something. They hoped so and kept living. That's amazing. That is amazing. That's amazing. I can say nothing else than that's amazing. I don't even know. I've just got so into that story that, A, I want to know what that bloody book was. And two, I always say, oh, you know, A, if you've got anything cursed or anything super scary, send it to me and I'll do it because I want to see it and all that. I wouldn't read that book. I'll tell you that much. I mean, I would get 3 flights of stairs up and, like, we live on the 3rd floor. But if even if the intercom went and I looked out, hello, nay, I'm a horseman. No, thank you. This next story is something that happened to me. It was about 6 years ago. It was late night, around 12 to 1 a.m. on a weekend, and I was up watching TV by myself. I'm probably around 16. Around this time, the house next to us had been demolished. It had been there for years, and part of my family had actually lived in that house when they came to the US. Anyways, I was up late, alone, and I was watching TV on low sound. I think I was watching a commercial when I heard some weird scratching at our front door. I went into stealth mode. I put the TV on mute and sat completely still for a minute to listen again before determining what to do next. I heard the weird scratching again, and this time, clear as day, I knew I was not just hearing something. I got up slowly and quietly from the sofa and gently made my way to the front door. As I got closer, it stopped. I was a couple of feet away from the door, in brackets, in the dark with the only light from the TV gleaming, and it completely stopped. I was frozen there, waiting for the same odd scratching sounds. Instead, I heard a different sound, almost like a baby cooing and marvelling at seeing candy. In brackets, when I tell you this is hard to describe. It was like a baby making a baby noise, like it had discovered something it had found enjoyable. The hair on the back of my neck stood all the way up. I felt like my whole body got heavy in block capitals. I did not think about it twice. I woke up my mum and told her what I heard. She got up and walked back with me. There was no sound. She opened the door. Nothing was there. I went to bed after that. I did not want to be watching TV anymore. I was spooked. It sounded so baby-like it was making weird scratching noises as if it was trying to get it. That's how it sounded to me. And it was as if it sensed me coming up to the door. Needless to say, I was so shook I did not know what to think and cannot explain it. My dad is somehow more in tune with the paranormal and even has dreams that are sort of like premonitions, or his dreams give him information on what's happening around him. So I tend to ask him about the meaning of things and what the paranormal things could be. He's also experienced enough of the paranormal himself and has heard enough stories to know a couple of things. I told him about it the next day. I asked him what he thought it could have been. He said he did not know, but he could guess would be that it had to do with the house they had just demolished next door. He told me that it could be possible that whatever spirit resided there in the home could be trying to find somewhere new to go and stay. That's horrible. I got scared at the thought and still do. And I somehow still believe it. I just feel that it has to be the truth. I feel confident in that it had to be that. It just felt too real. My hair standing up and just hearing what I had heard, it was definitely something trying to get in. Who knows what it was? Maybe it was a small animal, but I doubt that myself. I hope you enjoy the stories. I bloody did. I bloody did, I tell you. I know it was pretty long, so I'm sorry. Don't apologise for that. I can't wait to keep hearing more of your work. My boyfriend and I love hearing your podcast every week. Can't wait for the next one. Well, thank you, Yannara. And I sincerely think that, the first story anyway. I mean, the second one's terrifying. Terrifying. But that first story of the devil arriving. Give me back my book. I only borrowed you the book. I want it back. It is not yours, I tell you. There's a fine due on that. He was terrifying. I will genuinely, possibly, well, maybe have nightmares about that tonight, because that is scary. If you've got a story about stealing a book off the devil and him coming to take it back, or something like that, then send it in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I'd love to read it out, because that has put the living willies up me. Wow. Well, thank you for these plethora of stories this week. Next week, we have stories to come in. No, we've got stories to read out, even, from Ashley Colucci-Dorian, Sean Fleming and Paul Collins. And they're all amazing stories. So tune in next week for those. Yes, indeed, you do. If you want more content, there will shortly be going up a small mini-sode on the Patreon site. So you can go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. As I say, $5 a month gets you all the extra content. That's it. Cheaper than a coffee. Until next week, I love you all, and we will all get scared again next week. Thank you very much. Teddy bye.